Hi, this is Jeff Curto, and welcome to episode 136 of Camera Position, the podcast about the creative side of photography. Well, regular listeners, longtime listeners, would recognize that one of the things that I like to do on a periodic basis is introduce you, or perhaps in this case, reintroduce you to the work of an interesting photographer. And this episode is dedicated to Olivia Parker, one of my favorite photographers, and someone about whom I have some interesting interactions and some interesting advice in many ways for those of us who are practicing photographers. I first met Olivia Parker's work in the 1980s. I was introduced to that work by my graduate school professor, Neil Rappaport, who showed me the work that Olivia was doing in black and white large format 4x5 and 5x7 and 8x10 inch camera images that she was doing in the 1970s and 1980s. And then shortly after that experience, I was also introduced physically to Olivia Parker, who was, as good fortune would have it, one of the instructors at the Ansel Adams workshop that I attended in the summer of 1983. And so I was not only able to enjoy her work, but I was also able to enjoy getting to know a vibrant and interesting person and a little bit about her background. And what I learned was that she had had a degree in art history from Wellesley College and had started out as a painter, but eventually became a photographer in the 1970s and worked in photography, working predominantly in still life. Again, a thing that was not terribly in vogue at the time, something that was not a particularly popular form of photography in an era when landscape photography and street photography really had become the sort of predominant forms of the medium of photography. So here was Olivia Parker bucking that trend and producing this marvelous work that I'm sure that many of us are quite familiar with. One of the things that I found really intriguing about the work was the way in which she took the frame, the photographic frame, and forced us to look at every square inch of the frame by not giving us any escape into deep space. The only kind of escape into deep space that was possible was the escape through illusion that she would create in the photographs. Illusion based on drawn perspective, where she'd draw in the photograph or draw in the subject of the photograph to create the illusion of forced perspective, or possibly another way that she would create the illusion of depth is with mirrors or reflections in some way that gave us a sense that this subject wasn't just the 2 or 3 inches of the still life area that she was photographing, but had this tremendous illusion of depth. And that depth wasn't just a physical one, it was also an emotional one. Because one of the things that I also discovered was that Parker had done quite a lot of research about still life imagery based on her interest in art history, her degree in art history, and her background of understanding the world of the painter. So she understood the way in which still life imagery had been created, what it had been created for, and the fact that it often was filled with metaphor. And so many of her images had this wonderful sense of metaphorical content, symbolic content, that I found really intriguing. She was one of those photographers that I met at that Ansel Adams workshop that was really tremendously influential to me. And of course, like many other photographers, I went on to try and produce a body of work that was similar in some ways to the work that she had done. Her black and white images were darkroom prints that were split toned using selenium toner and using this method of using selenium toner on particular kinds of photo papers, specifically Agfa Portriga. You could get a kind of a warm highlight and a kind of a cool shadow. And this, of course, enhanced the illusion of depth within the photographic image. And of course, I also Went out and used my 4x5 camera and a Polaroid back to produce both 4x5-inch and also 8x10-inch Polaroid images, attempting to imitate the work of this photographer who I really had enjoyed looking at the work and, of course, getting to know her a little bit. Now, I wasn't probably as good as I should have been in terms of keeping in touch with Olivia Parker, but I did write an occasional note and let her know how influential she'd been and how important her instruction and feedback on my own personal work had been. And what I wound up doing was having the tremendous good fortune of being able to organize a conference a couple of years ago for the Society for Photographic Education in Chicago. And as part of that conference, I was really thrilled to be able to invite Olivia Parker to be a speaker at the conference. So there are a number of things about that interaction that are important to me, and I think important to all of us in terms of what it is that photography is as a medium and the way in which we can work within that medium. So the first thing is that Olivia Parker, who had started as a photographer in 1970, was still working as a photographer. So here it was, 2013, and Olivia Parker came to our conference and did a presentation not only on the work that many people knew her best for, but also on the work that she was producing today, the work that she was becoming known for in today's world. And instead of working with Polaroid materials and black and white materials as she had been in the 1980s and 90s, she was now working with digital photography materials and using both the camera and also post-production of Photoshop and so forth to do the kinds of manipulation of photographs that she was working with in the real world, both in real captured images and also in composited imagery. And I found it really wonderful. Here was a photographer who had been working for this long period of time, who was continuing to work, continuing to explore the boundaries of predominantly still life imagery, and yet still producing something new, something fresh, something interesting, and something that engaged her as a photographer. Just as importantly, as I looked at this new work, and I'll link to all of this work in the CameraPosition.com blog and also in the app, it was also interesting to note she had not left behind the roots of her art history background, of her understanding of the historical importance of still life, of the way in which still life imagery could communicate metaphorically and symbolically beyond the subject matter of the photograph. So here were these new photographs that she was producing, new imagery that took advantage of new technology and was still leveraging the same kinds of general ideas and notions that she had had that had begun her exploration of photography more than 40 years before. The other thing that I found really interesting was that Olivia Parker had attended Society for Photographic Education conferences in long ago past years, but had not been to one for a long time. And because of that interaction that she had of coming to this conference and meeting all of these people, she discovered that she met a lot of old friends and began to open up the network that she had sort of not been able to be a part of for a long period of time. And I'm thrilled to say that Parker came not only to the Chicago conference to do a presentation, but she was at the last Society for Photographic Education conference in Baltimore this past March, and I'm hoping that she will attend the next SPE conference happening in 2015 in March in New Orleans, Louisiana. So here is another piece of information. Not only is she continuing to work, continuing to be inspired by the same muses that inspired her before, but she is also recognizing again how important that network of friends and relationships within the photography medium is. And the longer I've been at this world of photography, the more I recognize that our world actually is quite small. The photographic world is not a very large place, and what we can do is use that network of friends and acquaintances, influences and influencers to help us guide our path through the medium of photography. So I hope that if you've never encountered Olivia Parker's work before, that you get a chance to take a look at this wonderful photographer and the wonderful work that she has produced. And I also hope that you begin to use these wonderful media of social networking and the way in which we can connect with one another to keep in touch and establish communication with people who are your influences and your influencers. And make sure that they understand that this is the kind of relationship that you're looking for, not one that that is needy and grabbing of time, but one rather that is that helps those people understand that what you're doing is using them as a springboard to go on and produce new work of your own. So I have a lot to report in my world, but I wanted to start off with this Olivia Parker piece. And actually, the next episode of Camera Position is going to kind of be a Jeff Curto update because a lot's going on in my world and a lot's happening right now for me, and both photographically and as an educator and so forth. And I'll catch you up on those things in the next episode of Camera Position. But for now, enjoy the work of my friend and my colleague and my inspiration, Olivia Parker. And I'll see you next time on the next episode of Camera Position, the podcast about the creative side of photography.